This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And today, we're going to be speaking more towards the women in our audience, but men, don't go away because you have women in your lives and you need to be knowing this stuff too. So we're going to have a great time talking to my friend, Dr. Kelly Shue today. So welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Deb. So excited to be here.
Well, see, I'm so excited because you're in Boulder, Colorado, home. I'm so jealous. But let me tell people a little bit about you and then we will dive into this. So meet the worth and wealth alchemist. Dr. Kelly Martin Shue is a best-selling author, speaker, and sales and business coach for female coaches, consultants, and solopreneurs. In 2009, she pioneered the Sacred Sisterhood of Pink Tent International, the first women's online community of its kind, which is now over 12,000 strong. And this was long before Me Too was even on the radar. Her body of work in healing sacred feminine sexuality includes being featured on Jamie Foxx's Foxhole Radio, Pop Sugar Magazine, Fox 31 TV, and Channel 2. After scaling her business to multiple six figures and participating in high-level women-only masterminds, it broke her heart to see so many talented and amazing female entrepreneurs with unbelievable offers and ideas struggling to ask for the money and confidently closing sales. So Worth International LLC is now birthed in 2020 into a patriarchal world where women still only make 79 cents on the dollar when compared to men. This is core to the global money wounds we carry as women in business. As CEO, Dr. Shue is igniting a women's worth worldwide movement committed to women entrepreneurs claiming their true worth. So again, Kelly, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, you have had kind of a varied career. So tell us a little bit how you got to where you are today and how you truly discovered how this is your passion in life.
Yes. So, you know, entrepreneurism, I think it was just in my blood. Mm-hmm. You know, I, going back to being a little girl, I can remember, if anyone listening can remember those fat shoelaces, like they were a thing, probably dating myself, but literally these fat shoelaces had like glitter and you could get them all girly. And they had things
that you stuck on them.
Right? So cool. And I learned how you buy low, sell high. And I would bring these wide shoelaces to the classroom and sell them. And
oh, so, my gosh.
You know, so that and Girl Scout cookies and you name it. And so fast forward, I started my wellness center in 2004, came out of school.
And you are a chiropractor.
You were trained as a chiropractor. I am. And it really was sink or swim. I didn't want to work for somebody. And so failure was an option. So very early on, you know, we got into cash positive. And so that's my wellness center that I started this journey with. And then fast forward in becoming a mother. So we went from 2004, now we're in 2009. And I had a condition that made me really sick being pregnant. It's called hyperemesis. And for those ladies that are listening, it's like morning sickness on steroids.
Oh,
it is not fun. It is not fun. And yet it was a time of deep discovery because I could no longer see my patients. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're that sick. And so I sent all of my patients to my colleague. Mm-hmm. And I had this moment where it was a real big wake-up call that my income was related to getting my hands on people.
Right.
If I couldn't get my hands on people, mm-hmm. then
there was no income.
Mm-hmm. There's no income. Mm-hmm. And so I remember a moment really, and I was so sick and I was so weak. And it was this aha moment mm-hmm. of, you know, really realizing the ability to share your message globally. Mm-hmm. And it could not be done with a bricks and mortar. Mm-hmm. So that was the beginning of, I want to start an online business, right? I want to be cool. able to provide mm-hmm. my family. Mm-hmm. And so, it was at that point in time, I knew I had a book in me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to write a book and impact women specifically. Mm-hmm. And that's how I created my Amazon bestselling book. And it's called Live, Love, and Thrive with Herpes. Mm-hmm. And so, and it was a holistic guide for women. So here is, here were women that were diagnosed with a condition that had so much shame mm-hmm. And women were so lost. Mm-hmm. And then, so anyway, so I created the bestseller, I created community and mm-hmm. I was broke. So I was like, oh, this online thing isn't what everyone says it is. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, it was really challenging. So I had my version of, I had several coaches and things weren't working. Mm-hmm. I was making about 50K a year and, mm-hmm. And yet the money that was coming in more was going out mm-hmm. and the pivotal piece happened, one day when I was working with my coach mm-hmm. and it was a very humbling moment. And my husband had shared with me, he's like, you know, sweetie, we're $130,000 in debt. Mm-hmm. You know, you did quite well mm-hmm. as a chiropractor. I know you're here to serve this community. And he's like, we got to figure this out. Mm-hmm. No, I think you should maybe go back to chiropractic, which mm-hmm. I love. Mm-hmm. So I was on the phone with my coach about 3 months into it. And she said, I challenge you, double your rates. You are undercharging. Mm-hmm. You give, mm-hmm. and yet you're broke. Mm-hmm. So that was the day that changed my life, that challenge. Mm-hmm. And that was the year that I tripled my business.
Wow.
So she had said, you know, how long will it take for you to just give it a go? She goes, what's mm-hmm. the worst that can happen? Mm-hmm. And I said, I guess people would say no.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I was willing to give it a go mm-hmm. and I had to work myself from the inside out. That was mm-hmm. a pivotal point for me. Mm-hmm. And it was around my worth. Mm-hmm. It was around my worth. What am I worthy of? And so hence the awareness of really the money wound that so many mm-hmm. women carry, you know, and I was really uncomfortable, you mm-hmm. know, with charging what I was worth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from that, I made that decision to give it a go or else I was going to abort and try mm-hmm. something else. Mm-hmm. And during this journey, you know, I had to really discover like, who is this woman inside, you mm-hmm. know, like how can I package my services? And so that's where actually, we created what's called the worthiness triad because mm-hmm. I had become the CEO mm-hmm. of my dreams. Mm-hmm. Like I had to create a whole new relationship around money mm-hmm. and a relationship around, you know, my language mm-hmm. and my mindset. It was all really right here. I knew mm-hmm. the mechanics of business, but mm-hmm. that internal mm-hmm. journey. So that's where I created what we call the worthiness triad, where mm-hmm. a woman can stand in her power and learn how to own her worth. Mm-hmm. And really Worth International was created by a friend of mine. So I'd been working with this community and coaching mm-hmm. on multiple six figures. So things were good. We got out of debt. Mm-hmm. All was good. And then COVID hit.
Oh,
I watched my colleagues struggle. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I realized is that so many of these women, they had the bestseller, like they had done mm-hmm. all the things. They had the community.
Right.
They had the courses for sale, all the things that I also had. And what was missing was they weren't honoring. They really didn't honor their value. They were uncomfortable around sales. So I had a friend of mine say, you know what, Kelly, all these years, you know, you've been in this mastermind and you've helped so many women in this larger community to really claim their worth and to really create a new relationship around money and sales. She's like, I really think that you should serve women in business. And so really that's how Worth International came to be, was from a friend that really called me out. And I realized, yeah, it's time and the suffering with women and the relationship around money.
Right.
So that's the short version of a very long journey. Of
I love it. You know, and I think, you know, there's so much, oh, my little brain just went, because there's so much that, you know, to talk about in this. But I mean, the big thing is that women, and especially women in my generation, you know, bless the millennials. I love the millennials, you know, because they kind of get it. But for those of us, and it's not necessarily that we were told we're not worth it, but it's, we weren't encouraged is maybe the way to put it. And, you know, or, you know, you got the pat on your head. Oh, isn't that sweet? And then, you know, the brother, the, you know, the whoever got the accolades, you know, and so, you know, I don't think, you know, in many cases, definitely there were a lot of, you know, the, you're a woman, you can't do that. Why would you think you could, you know, those things, but I, you know, and then I, you know, we've talked about this on the program before. There were a lot of people who thought that they were protecting us by saying, oh, you know, now you need to be careful and, you know, all these things and not, you know, they really, I think, did come at it from a place of love and concern, but they didn't realize how much damage they were doing to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, generationally, we carry the stories of our family story around money and then multi-generationally, right? And we don't even realize it. So some of these thoughts around our worth are not our own, right? So even, I mean, I look at my family and my upbringing and my mom would always say, you know, you could be the president of the United States. You want to go out there and be whomever you want to be. And yet in our family, I look at, you know, who managed the finances and I look at, and I have a little bit of a, I don't want to call it rich dad, poor dad experience, but something similar. And what I mean by that is, so my father was a teacher, right? And went to work, you know, every day for many years, did his thing. And then there was another man in our family's lives. And we called him an uncle, right? Not by blood. But this man was incredibly wealthy, like uber wealthy, like had the cars and the homes and like all the things, right? And he would gift my family with money all the time. So it was like, and yet.
He was like Daddy Warbucks.
He was Daddy Warbucks. Oh my gosh, he was so Daddy Warbucks. And the challenge was, is in that relationship, he was also bipolar. He was an alcoholic.
Wow.
And he had a lot of emotional instability. So with these gifts, there was a lot of strings attached and it caused a lot of pain, a lot of pain in my family. And, you know, so as a little kid, it was, it felt like feast or famine. And when I say famine, it was more of like, my dad had a good job. It wasn't that, but it was this idea of, you know, oh my gosh, here, this man is having another, you know, craziness attack, you know, and he would threaten to take his life.
Oh no.
You know, and remove himself from our family and the whole, so there was just, there was so much pain around money. And there was a moment, I remember being a little girl and I was, my mom, we actually had like credit cards that were linked to his account, right? And he was on one of his vendors. And I remember just a lot of yelling and screaming. And I remember in that moment that like it was life it felt like life or death. Like if he was mm-hmm. going to leave my family, which he was threatening to leave the family mm-hmm. and no one loved him. And like, so like mm-hmm. so many women have these stories that we have around money and manipulation mm-hmm. and men. And really, if you know, he had kind of, we're like puppets truly.
Right.
Right. And so again, it wasn't rich dad, poor dad, but mm-hmm. there was a lot of confusion as a little girl mm-hmm. and a lot of fear mm-hmm. around, well, if you had money, like that kind of money, mm-hmm. it's going to come with so
right. There's problems pain. That come with that much. Yeah.
Yeah. So in this journey, I've just uncovered so much around money and pain mm-hmm. and the masculine and the feminine mm-hmm. and how historically women were even, you know, even there are places in the world. I know you have a global audience. Mm-hmm. Women are still property.
Like, oh yeah.
Literally, mm-hmm. you know, our property that's exchanged. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising that it's 2021 and we're mm-hmm. still having this opportunity to heal mm-hmm. our relationship around right. money. And right. as you said, the generational, like the millennials, mm-hmm. how much do they have it? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but definitely older women do.
Oh yeah. You know, and we do have such a weird relationship with money. I mean, you know, we want more, we want more, we want more, we want more. But at the same point, people tell us, but it, you know, that might not bring you, that you might not be successful. You know, what's the definition of success to you? And, you know, and you know, and we certainly see people like Mother Teresa, who, right. you know, was below poverty level, yeah. clearly, but you know, but yeah, you know, most of us aren't going to be saints. Let's be honest. You know, and
oh,
I tell
come on, Deb.
I know.
You as a saint?
I know. I know. You know, and but you know, we and so, but we do think, you know, we need yeah. more, but then it comes with this: how much is enough? Type of yeah. thing, and how much are we comparing ourselves with others? You know, is it okay that I have I drive a pickup. You know, I told people, I said, I got back to my roots. I bought a pickup. You know, I'm from rural Colorado. What else would you have? And of course, it only plays country music. That's the, you know.
I love that.
My
I
poor husband that. Is like, ugh. Exactly. But you know, it was a used pickup. I mean, it was a year old, you know, and all of these things, but you know, immediately people were saying, well, but it doesn't do this, this, and this. And I'm like, I didn't need it to, you know, it's a pickup that I'm going to the, you know, to the garden place with. I don't need it to have all the whiz bang bells and whistles, but then that little voice is in there. Why didn't I, you know, and we do that with everything, you know, whether it's our clothes, our homes. I mean, look at how big homes have gotten.
Oh, I know. Right. You know, are we really happier?
I know. And I think we're not. Yeah. I think most people aren't. It was funny. I saw something on Facebook today and it was, someone was posting about a friend of his whose house burned down. And he said, you know, nothing. He said, yes, the house is gone. But they, you know, everybody was safe. They have very good insurance, really wasn't going to be a problem. But he set up a fund to help other people who weren't as lucky as him. And so that was great. But then he goes on to say, you know, when we have people like Richard Branson and Elon Musk, who, or Jeff Bezos, I guess it is. So Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos, who were literally fighting to spend their millions of dollars to go for 4 minutes in space.
Right.
And we still have all of these problems here.
Yeah.
You know, and now granted, exactly. they made that money. They should be able to do what they want with it. And I'm sure they do a lot of philanthropic things, but it's like, you know, I would love to go to space, but ain't no way I'm going to ever. You know, even if I won the lottery and had all that, I think, no, can't do that. But yeah, the perception that we have of money is so weird. And then as women, it adds to it.
Absolutely. And for me, there's this, you know, I'm so glad you brought up Mother Teresa. Let's talk mm-hmm. for a minute about Mother Teresa. Because one of the things that I'm so committed and passionate about is having us untangle mm-hmm. spirituality and being wealthy. Mm-hmm. Because in so many spiritual traditions, it's an either or. So
right.
you're either poor and giving it all the mm-hmm. all away, mm-hmm. right? Or you're mm-hmm. wealthy and losing that philanthropic. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm here to do is really heal that you can be spiritual mm-hmm. and be wealthy. Mm-hmm. And it really isn't, there isn't a whole lot of dialogue or experience mm-hmm. or role models around mm-hmm. that, you know, and you're also, you bring to the conversation of mm-hmm. like, well, what is wealthy? Mm-hmm. You know, what is success? Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, you look at many spiritual traditions mm-hmm. and the leaders of the, whether it was like the tribe or the society mm-hmm. or whatever, like they were 100%, like if they were traveling, for example, and they would come into a town to share their message, they were taken care of 100%.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. they didn't need, mm-hmm. you know, the things that even just basically that, mm-hmm. that we need. And mm-hmm. so we live in a different society. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just really here to say that, you know, you can be spiritual and you can be wealthy. Mm-hmm. You don't need to give it all away.
Right.
And if you want, if wealth to you, you know, is the freedom to drive mm-hmm. a truck, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, love that truck, mm-hmm. then that's the freedom. It's a vehicle. Mm-hmm. Like money really mm-hmm. at the end of the day, mm-hmm. it's a vehicle.
Right.
What are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. Right. But you don't need to denounce it. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Energy, you know, it's what the energy that you put around money. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
And so just like the truck, mm-hmm. you know, it's the vehicle that gets you to point A, mm-hmm. point B. Right. And for me, I've never been big on cars, but one right. day I decided, you know what? Mm-hmm. I want to get a Beamer, mm-hmm. you know, and because my mom had had one. And mm-hmm. so there was this like, oh yeah, but you know, and then once I had, I was like, this is kind of cool. And I love mm-hmm. how it drives.
It's comfy.
The freedom, mm-hmm. the freedom to do that. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, so for me, there's a lot, you know, around the energy mm-hmm. of money and what do we make it mean in our lives mm-hmm. and what is success and mm-hmm. what is to be wealthy? Mm-hmm. And these are fantastic questions. Mm-hmm. If we want happiness, we got to figure this out because
right.
money, you know, money doesn't mm-hmm. buy happiness, but mm-hmm. it's not an either or. It doesn't have to be.
Right. You know, and I think that's the problem is people do think it's either or,
yeah.
you know, and, but you know, we look at the people who are incredibly wealthy, whether they're, you know, business people, sports figures, celebrities. And it does seem a lot of times like the more they have,
yeah.
the less happy it seems like they are. You know, we've been kind of watching everything that's been going on with Britney Spears, trying to get back control of everything. You know, and I mean, I forget how many million she's worth, but it's incredible. And of course, one of the biggest things that she is saying is that her father, who is the conservator, is taking advantage. He's spending her money, you know, and we see that happen, you know, and I think, you know, it does, but it also makes you wonder if she had been a he and even did the same things, mm-hmm. they probably would, oh, just being a silly boy, you know, or right. things like that. I mean, it never would have been, oh my gosh, we have to rush in. Now she did have some serious issues and we don't want to downplay that, but you know, and I think that's the other thing we see this happen with women is people have to rush in and take care of us. They have to make it better. And exactly. it's like, I can do it myself. Leave me alone.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that. I can do it myself. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I remember, you know, being a mom to Maddie when she was a toddler mm-hmm. and the I can do it myself is mm-hmm. actually why I'm in business. Mm-hmm. It is.
Right.
Because I didn't. And then, so I got to like begin to really heal that, like we can as women, mm-hmm. you know, and for those people that are listening that you can't have it all, I'm here to say you can. Mm-hmm. You really can have it all. Right. And so even as I related to money in my earlier years, I mm-hmm. think I was so, because of that money wounding mm-hmm. as a little girl around mm-hmm. the uncle that I told you, mm-hmm. my father, and it caused so much problems in their marriage, mm-hmm. problems with fighting, life or death mm-hmm. problems, like all the stuff. Mm-hmm. I was so committed to being independent.
Right.
And I'm seeing
you were not going to rely on anybody.
No man is going to. Mm-hmm. No, exactly. Mm-hmm. So what's fascinating, taking on that position, mm-hmm. I actually also needed to learn how to fall in love and lean into a man mm-hmm. that could also be a provider if I wanted mm-hmm. to not be the income earner. So mm-hmm. this is multifaceted. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you know, that I do it myself. Like mm-hmm. women have not been empowered to do it themselves. Like mm-hmm. we look statistically. I think the last that I saw, it was something ridiculous, like something like 5% of CEOs mm-hmm. of top, you know, Fortune mm-hmm. 500 are mm-hmm. women in America.
Right.
Like, I know I might not be quoting that correctly, but
it is not anywhere close to even 10%. So
it's huge. And mm-hmm. so we go, well, why? Mm-hmm. Why is that? Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, which is why I said, you know, I'm birthing this Worth International mm-hmm. into a patriarchal world mm-hmm. where it's, we get to empower ourselves that mm-hmm. I can do it myself mm-hmm. because I don't ever want a woman that, and this happens, right? That stays in a relationship that's mm-hmm. abusive
right.
because he makes the money.
Right. Because you know? She thinks that she can't leave.
That she can't. Mm-hmm. Or that, you know, is told that she can't go to school or she mm-hmm. can't start the business mm-hmm. because she doesn't mm-hmm. have the resources. Like mm-hmm. I am such a fan around women's empowerment mm-hmm. because when we are wealthy to the point where we can take care of ourselves mm-hmm. and if we are mamas, take mm-hmm. care of our children, mm-hmm. then we have choice.
Right.
And that is historically what men have had and mm-hmm. we haven't. And in an equitable society.
Right.
It amazes me that we're still having this mm-hmm. conversation.
Right. Oh yeah. You know, and the funny thing is, I think there's probably a lot of men who would choose to say, you know, wife, partner, you can be the breadwinner. I'll stay home and take care of the kids. But of course, there's that whole masculinity thing with them. You know, it was, oh gosh, 30 years ago-ish when that movie Mr. Mom came out.
That was
a huge thing because, you know, he was saying, I can stay home and do this and you can go off and earn the money. And so, you know, it does need to balance, you know, if the man wants to stay home, fine. You know, but yeah, it is amazing that we're still having these conversations.
Exactly. And I think we're trying to figure it out, you know, mm-hmm. in our household. I mean, my husband does a lot. He's such an active father, right? We call him the activities director for my mm-hmm. daughter. Like mm-hmm. he really does. He loves that stuff, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so we do get to look at these gender differences, mm-hmm. right? And wouldn't it be great if we all just had a choice to create in our home, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Of what's possible. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have to stamp. Like, mm-hmm. you know, this is women do this and men do this.
Right.
Like
you have your job duties.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But you know what? We're still trying to figure it out mm-hmm. around our worth. Mm-hmm. Like, right. So whether it's mm-hmm. for emasculating men that mm-hmm. when they step into a role that has been traditionally more women, mm-hmm. you know, to allow them to feel masculine and mm-hmm. in their power as mm-hmm. much as a woman stepping out and saying, right. I want to be the primary breadwinner mm-hmm. and feeling comfortable around that. So mm-hmm. again, for me at the end of the day, it's, I want women to be able to choose.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, if they choose to stay home and raise the kids, that's wonderful. I mean, wonderful. You know, we're not saying that, you know, that they shouldn't do that. And, you know, some of the people, some of the women that I know that are the happiest are the ones that are, and I always cringe when they say this and I always correct them, just a mom, just a housewife. And I'm like, no.
I know, you gotta take that just out, right? Mm-hmm. And yet when you listen to a woman's language, mm-hmm. compare that to a man's,
right?
Like we're constantly putting ourselves down. Mm-hmm. How many times does a woman say, I'm sorry throughout a given day when mm-hmm. she's not done anything?
Right. Right.
She's late for a meeting. Let's say she's at the table and there's a corporate meeting mm-hmm. and she's running late mm-hmm. and she will walk in and, you know, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And it's not that she's, you know, not sorry, but it's like she goes off the charts mm-hmm. of the, I'm sorry, where often, you know, a man would handle it very differently.
Well, they never apologize.
Right.
I mean, they come in late and they're like, you know, glad you waited for me.
Exactly. Right. And so we just look at, And so I'm always, as a coach, very mindful of the language that we use, mm-hmm. even around money as mm-hmm. a resources. Like I'll train women if they're constantly saying like, I can't afford that. I can't mm-hmm. afford that. Well, then the psychology mm-hmm. is living through the lens of I can't afford it.
Right.
And so the likelihood of having a shift around the money to mm-hmm. be able to afford it, it's almost like brainwashing. Mm-hmm. We brainwash ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so what I'll instruct a woman to do is say, well, I choose not to buy that now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I choose not to buy that now. Mm-hmm. Right. And so language is so powerful mm-hmm. as a woman steps into her power. Mm-hmm. And so we have this, you know, this manifesto, I am a queen of worth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it doesn't mean what's in your bank account,
mm-hmm.
but it's own. It's like, I tell women, I don't have my crown right now, but like you put that
I want
crown.
A crown.
Mm-hmm. Own the crown, mm-hmm. own the mm-hmm. throne.
Yeah.
And live from that place of abundance mm-hmm. and allow that lifestyle to step in, mm-hmm. whatever that lifestyle looks like you. So mm-hmm. you got it. What do they say? You need to, I'll see it when I believe it. Mm-hmm. Right? No, you believe it and then you'll see it.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, and it is, we have these such weird perceptions of ourselves, of what's, you know, what our value is. And language, as you were saying, really is that big thing. You know, well, I'm just an admin assistant. Okay. But that company wouldn't function without you. The word just, I just hate the, you know, that is one of the most limiting words that there is. And it is, it's tricky because, and part of it is we're also conscious of, we don't want to hurt someone else's feelings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to say, well, I'm just this because I don't want to make you seem less. And, you know, and we can be even. I mean, that's the thing. And you know what? Or maybe they might deserve to be down a little bit lower. Who knows?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'd also love to bring the conversation around like how women relate to sales.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes.
Sales as a relationship around money. Mm-hmm. And there are, I've talked to so many women that in sales, like we are great connectors. That's mm-hmm. one of the things, you know, that I advocate is running mm-hmm. a business. We actually have a feminine business model mm-hmm. that I've created mm-hmm. and it's centralized around compassion mm-hmm. and collaboration right. and connection. Mm-hmm. Connection is key. Mm-hmm. Like you and I, the connection is the thing, the thread mm-hmm. that holds us together. And what I find with women as we speak about language and mm-hmm. all these other things is they are fantastic connectors.
Right.
And it's like, mm-hmm. we're so great connectors. But then as soon as it comes time to ask for the money, mm-hmm. we shrink.
Right. Yeah.
We shrink.
I'm guilty of that too. You know, I'm like, oh, I'll do this for you for free. And, you know, yes. And you know, and I might not tell them that. I just tell them I don't have a money conversation at all. You know, we just don't even bring it up. Yeah. And, you know, part of that is we want to be helpful. You know, we're those yeah. nurturers. And so we want to help them through this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think we're also afraid that the second we start to have that money conversation, they're going to go, no, sorry, not going to pay that.
Exactly. Exactly. So I find it really interesting. And in the beginning, even back as in the beginnings for me as a chiropractor, mm-hmm. I would make my recommendations, mm-hmm. right? And obviously it's not for free,
right?
There's mm-hmm. there's a monetary value. And I can remember mm-hmm. I would get like that, you know, pit in my stomach. Or mm-hmm. when I started coaching, as I said, I was mm-hmm. totally undervalued. And mm-hmm. I was more comfortable charging a lot less and mm-hmm. also having much shorter contracts. Mm-hmm. Even if I knew their needs were much bigger.
Right. Yeah. You so needed to work with them for 6 months or whatever.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like I knew that they needed 6 months or I mm-hmm. knew that they needed a year, mm-hmm. but I would have in my mind, oh, they can't afford it. Oh, they right. can't. That's mm-hmm. too much to ask. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we really, as we get more comfortable, like what sales really is, mm-hmm. I tell women, it's deepening that connection mm-hmm. and closing the gap between what you have to offer mm-hmm. that can transform someone's life.
Right. Right.
Right. And so how can we relate to sales in a new way? Because, mm-hmm. you know, when you bring up sales, it's almost like a dirty word for
right.
women.
Oh yes. It's for everybody. We're like, ew, sales. Like, ew.
Ew. And so the thought that comes to mind is the used car salesman.
Yes. Like really yes. The sleazy guy that pounces on you.
The sleazy mm-hmm. guy, right? That's going to try to sell you things mm-hmm. that you don't need mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. take advantage of you. And it's that manipulation, it's that power mm-hmm. over, you know, and it's all the ickiness. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how can we create a new relationship to sales mm-hmm. where it's around connection, mm-hmm. compassion, and collaboration?
Right.
Which is the core values mm-hmm. of my company. Mm-hmm. And we bring that into the sales conversation mm-hmm. so that the sales is a continuous conversation mm-hmm. of service. It's right. from like that hard selling, mm-hmm. heart selling. Mm-hmm. And when we can get women connected to their mm-hmm. heart and that whatever it is that they're selling, I mean, obviously my specialty is coaches and mm-hmm. consultants and solopreneurs mm-hmm. that do a lot of their sales over the phone. Mm-hmm. But this goes into, you know, other form of sales. And mm-hmm. it's like falling in love with sales, mm-hmm. and let's make it sexy, ladies. Let's
right.
bring connection in our hearts mm-hmm. to that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and when we give it away or undervalue it, yeah. then whoever is the recipient, they undervalue it also.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's like, you know, you've got two pizzas. I don't know why I'm yep. hungry, but you know, and if you get one for free and the exact same pizza or even a lesser pizza
yeah.
costs $10, you yep. think the $10 one is better.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and the free one might be an absolutely fabulous pizza and the other one's tasting like cardboard, but because you had to pay for it, you value yep. it more.
Absolutely. When you pay for it, you value it more. And mm-hmm. what I say is when people pay, they pay attention.
Yes.
When mm-hmm. people pay, they pay attention. And mm-hmm. so a lot of the coaches that come to work with me, mm-hmm. or consultants, they think they're doing a service by mm-hmm. undercharging.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because they're being helpful. They're being
helpful. Mm-hmm. Right. They want to be the good girl. That's a whole mm-hmm. other thing.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's be the good girl. Right. Good mm-hmm. girls don't charge those mm-hmm. kinds of fees. Mm-hmm. And what we find is when we get these women to double or triple or sometimes quadruple their rates, and mm-hmm. of course we say that and it's like, mm-hmm. ah, I could never do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we get them standing in their mm-hmm. power and what they can provide. Mm-hmm. They report, and I report it also. People show up for appointments, mm-hmm. they get better results. Mm-hmm. They're much more likely to refer.
Right.
Because when you pay attention. Mm-hmm. So when you buy that luxurious brand mm-hmm. relationship to that thing mm-hmm. or to that service, you honor it.
Right.
You honor it. So right. you actually show mm-hmm. up for yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's this like beautiful mm-hmm. effect, this positive effect mm-hmm. of when you put the price tag higher. Mm-hmm. And let me be clear, ladies that are listening, and men too, you better back that up with some fantastic.
Right. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. service. This is mm-hmm. not about just raise your rates and mm-hmm. don't provide value.
You have to make it worth it.
You have to make mm-hmm. it work. You have to mm-hmm. have, you know, I help women to create raving fans, mm-hmm. right? And so we just find that, you know, less refunds, mm-hmm. like you create a totally mm-hmm. different experience with the product or the service when you get into that area of the luxury brand.
Right.
It really is different.
You know, and I hear people say, well, you know, but I'm, you know, if I charge more, I'll lose clients. Well, yeah, because you'll lose the people who A, wanted it for free, or yes. B, you know, maybe they just really couldn't afford it. So there's different things you can do for them. You might have some free services that you provide, or, you know, a book, something, you know, something so that you're serving them, but you're weeding out the people who are taking advantage of you. And I think that's the big thing to remember, is you're getting rid of the people who aren't going to value you.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought that up. I love to train women to go high to low, not mm-hmm. low to high. Mm-hmm. And if you've been in the industry for a while, you know, it used to be how I was trained and it didn't work for me. You start with free and then you move to like a book, like a $10 mm-hmm. offer. And then you get them into like a couple hundred mm-hmm. and they rise with you, right?
Right.
And they build that trust. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered when I did that, I was poor. I was mm-hmm. poor. Remember, I was like,
because everybody stayed at that low level.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so we've turned that model upside down. And let mm-hmm. me tell you why. So it's, as I said, that day that my coach said, I challenge you. Mm-hmm. I challenge you to double your rates. And that mm-hmm. was when I tripled my business. Mm-hmm. I had to own my worth as a queen. Mm-hmm. I had to take really good care of myself, re-examine my relationship with money. All of that mm-hmm. would not have happened had my coach not challenged me. Mm-hmm. Here's what happened next. The cash flow started coming in. Mm-hmm. And when you get cash flow, like any day of the week, give me 10 clients for 10K mm-hmm. versus like, you know, I'm not doing the math right, but
100 at 1,000.
Volume
right.
versus boutique. Mm-hmm. And we can get women in business in cash flow. Mm-hmm. And then you know what they do next that they have not done is hire a team.
Yes.
Because most women are mm-hmm. not supported.
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
I can't afford it. And mm-hmm. in reality, they can't afford not to, but the cash flow is not coming mm-hmm. in. So I've really flipped this model upside down. We go mm-hmm. high to low, and then we develop mm-hmm. the lower
right.
tier. It's
well, and you might not even need the lower tiers. That's the funny thing.
You might not.
You know, people are like, okay, you know, so it's going to cost me $5,000. I'll pay $5,000. Exactly. You know, and again, if they're the people that are saying, we need you to cut it in half, then you probably don't want to work with them. I mean, that's the, You know, I learned when I was doing proposals, I hate proposals and I've stopped doing them. But, you know, I would say, okay, for $10,000, we will be doing A, B, and C. And invariably, they'll come back because everybody wants a deal, right? And so they'll come back and they'll say, well, our budget's only $5,000. And your first gut instinct is to go, okay.
Yeah, back down. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and when I learned to say, okay, what half are we cutting out?
Exactly. What half don't you want?
Oh, and you know, and then amazingly they find that other money, or they really do say, okay, we do only have 5,000. So what can we do? Then we adjust and we take out B. So we're only doing A and C or something, but yeah, it's just, but it really is our first instinct, especially when we're new in business to go, okay, I'll do whatever you want.
Absolutely. And, you know, it goes back to that worthiness thing. We think if like we give it all away, we're going to be amazing testimonials and it'll come back.
Everybody will love us. They'll refer us.
Right. And it just doesn't seem, it just doesn't work. And it is amazing that the difference, and even around the marketing and the branding around volume, a Walmart brand. And there are people who are listening and they're looking for volume. And you know what? I'm probably not.
Depending on what your product is,
there's nothing
volume might be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the women that I work with, these are women, many of them, they're heart centered. They're so bright. They have so much talent, right? And if we could just get them a handful of high ticket clients, their life would be transformed. Their businesses would be transformed. And I love this in sales, is that I tell women, if you feel like you're leaning forward energetically in the sale, they're going to feel it and want to put their energetic boundaries up. They're going to like come back with resistance. But I tell women, I say, lean back like a queen. And when you lean back and you've done a really good job, in the pre-frame, we actually, in my Close Like a Queen Academy, we have 7 steps to successful sales. Like there's this whole structured system that I created, that I followed, that I used to create a million-dollar business, right? Like it works, right? But one of the keys is, and I see women make this mistake and will record their sales call and go in and audit it and see what's different. And a lot of these women will only do sales on the phone. So it doesn't have to be video. So we can't see it, but you know, we hear it. Hear it. And so it's like the distinctions are like, allow your voice to drop down, slow down, feel your power.
Right. Lower it, you know, because when, especially as women, when we get excited, our voices go really high and the dog next door barks, right?
Exactly. But like, there's so many fine tuned things that we can train women in that can make all the difference. Like, for example, the training of the uncomfortable silence. People are really uncomfortable silent.
Right. So it's and like, so we fill it.
We fill it. And so we teach our women, allow the other person to fill the gap. So let's say you just said, yep, that's 6 months coaching. You get la, 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 la. It's 15K or, you know, 6 payments of whatever. And then zip it. And they witness their internal dialogue of scarcity. They're going to say it's too much. Like all of that. We have them lean back. And then we often find that they're, you know, they have a very different relationship by that extended silence and leaning back. And again, this is feminine. Masculine can be more, not that we can't, let me be clear. You know, there are gender differences, you know, and I know we're all so sensitive around, we all have feminine in us. We all have masculine.
Right.
In us. But to train a woman in a feminine sales model where it's all about magnetizing that divine right client and calling it in and being quiet, it's a lot easier.
Right.
You don't have to force anything. You can just stand in our feminine essence of like, you know, it's like Apple doesn't discount, do they?
Right.
Period.
You afford it or you don't.
Right. And you've got homeless people with their Apple latest, greatest.
I know.
Why? Because they want it and they make it happen.
Yeah. And they find a way to make it happen. I mean, that's the thing. If somebody wants it enough, they will find a way. It's interesting how that happens. Like you said, you know, when we see people who, you know, you're like, what the heck? You know, why, you know, like somebody that you know is, you know, not earning a lot and they drive a Mercedes. Well, there's lots of ways that they can do that. I mean, you know, they might be leasing it. It's a heck of a lot less expensive. It might be used, you know, all sorts of things. They find a way to make it happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, people, let's face it, people are always watching. I remember listening to a coach who was working with a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. This real estate agent was doing quite well. Mm-hmm. And he drove a pickup truck, right? And there was nothing wrong with the pickup mm-hmm. truck. And his coach said, go out and buy a really nice car. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know what? I'm not a car guy. No, yeah. He went out mm-hmm. and bought something fancy because mm-hmm. he could afford it. Mm-hmm. And I remember the story. It was like that year, his business, like within a short amount mm-hmm. of time, started scaling rapidly mm-hmm. because of that, how he was perceived as mm-hmm. a real estate right. agent in his town. It's like, oh, he's the one to work with. Mm-hmm. It's the apple mm-hmm. of what, you know, if you're going to go luxury, mm-hmm. like, and it's okay on the back end if you're, mm-hmm. if you're, you know, doing your monthly payments or whatever. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, and I'll give you another great example. So I remember during the presidential election and we were watching it. And at the time, I forget how old my daughter was, but we were watching Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. and my daughter, we're like, oh, wow, the debates were really wonderful last night. And wherever you are on the spectrum politically, I don't like to bring up the political mm-hmm. then, but the question was, my daughter's first question was, mm-hmm. what was she wearing, mommy? Mm-hmm. And I about like, mm-hmm. whoa.
Yep. The pantsuit look.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And the question, not, it wasn't, you know, and it wasn't, that would never have been asked about the male candidate.
Right.
So this is sad, but you know what? We are really hard on women mm-hmm. and our appearances mm-hmm. do matter in how we hold ourselves.
Right.
Last night I went out to, it was my birthday yesterday and I went out. Yes. It was so much fun. We had a girls' night out mm-hmm. and we went to a beautiful French bistro. Mm-hmm. We're sitting outside. It's a gorgeous, warm summer evening. And my friend says, check that woman out. Mm-hmm. And here's this, I only saw the back of her, mm-hmm. but she's like this gorgeous figure, mm-hmm. beautiful white dress, high heels, and just the way she walked, and mm-hmm. she's her date or husband or partner mm-hmm. is holding her hand, and how she walked commanded mm-hmm. attention.
Right.
And it commanded mm-hmm. wealth mm-hmm. and worth. And mm-hmm. I could just tell by her movements. Mm-hmm. From the back, walking away.
Right.
And my friend Marcella was like, she's got it.
Yeah. You know, and she might not have. I mean, you know, there is the fake it till you make it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, but yeah, she had that mindset of this is the persona that I'm going to put out there. You know, and I'll be honest, I don't like that. You know, because we're like, ugh. That means, I mean, like I tell people, you know, I don't want to go back into real networking because I'd have to put shoes on. But yeah, it is, you know, there's all of those things. And, but part of it is you know, we were, you know, talking about Hillary and her suits.
Yes.
How many women, just doesn't matter what your politics are,
yeah.
wear suits because it makes us look more masculine.
Yes. And perceived powerful.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, powerful. There's that word power suit, right?
Right.
And I do not own a suit. Now, part of it is, you know, when I got sick, I lost 50 pounds. So none of my suits fit. I gave them to a nonprofit that did training for people who were getting job interviews, things like that. So that was great. I knew they went to good use, but I didn't replace them. I do not have a single suit. Now I have jackets. And part of that is, you know, you walk into these air conditioned places in Atlanta and you got to have a jacket on or you're going to freeze. But, you know, but I will also go to meetings in nice jeans. Yes. I mean, but there's still, you know, there is that level of here's how I'm going to dress. I'm just not going to be dressing like one of the boys today.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's about that expression, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? You can, and again, some women are more feminine, some women are masculine. I have quite a bit of both in me. right? Like I've been told like, gosh, Dr. Kim, you're so powerful, right? And yet also there's this like flow, right? The style of chiropractic I used to practice was called flow, right? And so it's my relationship. Like I love to be in flow and synchronicity. Like you will find me at the fine dining, luxurious experience, right? And then you'll also find me scaling a rock,
right?
You know, with my fingernails getting, you know, all messed up and dirty and deep. Like, so I'm nature girl, right? And also the businesswoman.
Right.
And I think that some of this is really about being fully expressed.
Right. And being able to be both of those and be comfortable with it.
Exactly. And so, you know, when we're talking about our relationship, you know, to money and as it relates to sales, there is a whole beingness of, of that, this magnetism, right? And each woman will find her own variation of that, of what that is. And it really can translate, like going back to like, what is a wealthy woman? What is success? Like I can remember when making $10,000 a month was like the dream, like, oh my gosh, I could just make 10,000, you know? And then I hit that and it had like, it's, you know, fair share of like, woohoo. And then, and then I realized like,
what's next?
Then it was like $30,000 months. And so that 10,000 was just like, oh yeah, it's, you know? And so I'm just mindful of, it wasn't the money that made me happy, but I will tell you when I hit six figures and beyond, my freedom to express.
Right. Yeah.
You know, my freedom to take a vacation in the desert and, and do camping. Like I'm not, I like both ends of the spectrum. So again, it comes back to that, that freedom and what is success. And they do say that about in the United States, it's about $70,000 a year a person. Beyond that, there's not a direct correlation to happiness.
Right.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, and that's a number and whatever your relationship around that is, but it's just like science proves it's not the money in the bank account, right? That makes you happy. But I do emphatically want women to explore the relationship of money around money and make sure they're owning that worth. So
important. Right. You know, and knowing that it's them, you know, that they're not relying on someone else. Now, you know, that's not to say we can't have business partners. I mean, all these various things, because in many ways, it really does take a village. We'll get back to Hillary again. But, you know, and I think that is part of it, too, is a lot of times what I see women doing is we have to go it alone. We can't ask for help. You know, and so we forget that, you know, we need these other parts to whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's business partnerships or coaches or whatever. You know, we need that.
We do need that. I'm so glad you brought that up because I used to be the lone wolf, right? Remember I told you like I do it myself, right? It's that was just in me. So I started my wellness center and I did all the networking thing and grew my practice. But really, you know, it wasn't until probably, I want to think how long, I think 2017, 2018, where I actually found my tribe. I found my tribe of women and I realized I'm no longer a lone wolf.
Right.
And I've got this whole community of women that I can lean into and I can be vulnerable with and I can cry with. And I could do that with friends, but they, you know, entrepreneurialism as a woman, it's like learning a different language.
It is.
Language. You know, knowing what a funnel is, knowing what, you know, all of these things are. And so for me, that feminine business that I, the model that I teach them in, collaboration, as I said, it was collaboration, compassion and connection. We also get to heal our relationship around other women because women can be very competitive.
Oh, and very they're, petty, they're those B words.
Right? The B words, right? And so we have this like the whole good girl and the B word, right? And there, it's like, well, how can I be powerful and also have amazing friends that I can trust lean into? So part of what I've done is in creating this community of powerful, savvy women that support one another. And they're healing that often there's a wound around like a sister or an auntie or a mother, like something happened in their past and they no longer trust. And so then they internalize versus let's teach you to like open your heart, vulnerable again, and build the business of your dream with women arm in arm, arm in arm. And so that's why I created the Queen of Worth, the Savvy Sisterhood of Soulpreneurs on Facebook. as this, like, we get to do it together and it's so much easier. Mm-hmm. So much easier.
Right. You know, and I mean, it we do have to rely on others. And, yeah. You know, sometimes it's practical, you know, like I like working on websites. I like tinkering with websites. That is not a good use of my time. You know, and so I kind of have the 15-minute rule. If it's going to take me more than 15 minutes, mm-hmm. then I outsource it. And I have discovered that the person I outsource it to is not cheap, but he gets it done quickly. He, yep. you know, all of these various things and, you know, and he walks me through it. So that way, if I want to do it again myself, I can. But yeah, it's like, okay, you know, and we're not alone. And I think that, you know, that does part of the problem is, as you said, you know, there's not a lot of women in business, especially at a higher level. So it takes us longer to find our tribe, to find those people who support us. And, you know, you just have to keep trying until you find that.
Yeah, it is. It's a lifesaver. It really was. And, mm-hmm. and I remember that, yeah, joining a high-end mastermind, mm-hmm. it was all women. Mm-hmm. And never before I had, you know, mixed groups. But for me, right. being supported by other women that were on the path mm-hmm. made such a difference. And so mm-hmm. I have my own mastermind that I meet with weekly and we hold mm-hmm. each other accountable. And we're able to celebrate. That's the other thing. High-achieving women, mm-hmm. you don't celebrate the victories.
Right.
You kind of go on to the next thing mm-hmm. and the next thing.
Well, we're not supposed to. It's not ladylike to brag.
Exactly. So if you're listening, you know, and you don't, and you're a woman in business and you haven't found your tribe, we'd love to invite you into mm-hmm. our tribe, our Queen of Worth, Savvy mm-hmm. Sisterhood of Soulpreneurs, mm-hmm. you know, heart-centered women and highly intelligent. Mm-hmm. You know, you have gifts to share mm-hmm. and yet there's something missing. You don't have your tribe. You're uncomfortable with sales mm-hmm. and money and your worth. Join our Queen of Worth, you know? And if that's not for you, like find your tribe because mm-hmm. it makes all the difference in the
right.
world. Lean
right.
in and to have mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, and the cool thing now is that, you know, our tribes can be anywhere in the world. I mean, technology, you know, I hate the pandemic. I hate all the bad things that happened, but oh my gosh, some of the things that have come out of it with being able to connect with people around the world are just phenomenal.
Exactly. Connection is queen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Back to that.
Well, say cash is queen.
Yes. Yes.
Become the queen of mm-hmm. cash.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's okay, ladies. It really
it is
okay. Well, oh my gosh, we only have a couple minutes left. There's like five things on my list that we didn't even get to. So that just means we have to have you on again. But, you know, tell us how people find you and how they become part of what you're doing.
Absolutely. So the most exciting platform that we're getting involved in right now is Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And so we have our Queen of Worth Club in Clubhouse. So we're really wanting to build that community mm-hmm. and be incredibly resourceful and supportive of women. So that's one place. And then pretty much all the platforms, I'm very active. We're on Instagram. So at Dr. Kelly Hsu. Mm-hmm. If you do join our Facebook group, the Queen of Worth mm-hmm. Club will actually give you a free download. Five steps to overcome objections for those mm-hmm. conversations of I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. So we provide huge value in that. So those are just a couple ways that you can, come join us and have us support you. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to support you if you're a female coach, consultant, or entrepreneur that's looking for, you know, high vibe, high ticket mm-hmm. client, creating the business and life of your dreams.
I love it. I love it. You know, and I was looking here, you've got the Queen's Manifesto and, you know, I'm not going to do the whole thing because we want people to go find it. But, you know, I unapologetically live from a place of abundance. I lean into the sisterhood and know that I am safe. I am happy, healthy, wealthy CEO. You know, even if it's just of your house, that's okay. It's not just of your house. So, you know, you've got great information. Tell us what your website is again.
Yeah. So it's queenofworth.com. Right now that's the easiest way to get to us. Mm-hmm. And, we don't have a fully built out website because mm-hmm. we have those landing pages things, mm-hmm. which if you don't know what that is,
that works.
Come join us. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and for the gentlemen who are listening, please direct the women in your life. And I don't care if they're daughters, sisters, mothers, wives, coworkers, send them to this, you know, because you want them to be successful too.
Absolutely.
Perfect. I love it. Well, do you have any final words of wisdom for everyone?
Final word. Own your crown and claim your worth.
I love it. Such fun. I've been having an absolutely wonderful time talking with Dr. Kelly Hsu. Can't wait to do it again. I'm Deb Creer, and everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.